1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 17 on page 1187. But, brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing we made every effort to see you. But we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless.
So I want to focus a little bit back on verse 13, get you to do a bit of thinking. And if you remember, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accept it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So these young Christians, this young church, they'd received the apostles' teaching, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God. And the apostle Paul's seen the effects. He's seen the change that has occurred. If you remember in chapter 1, the gospel has been ringing out from them. People have heard about them. And he's reassuring them that they're on the right track. Now, what I want to do is at the start is to just have a little bit of a think. What would it look like for the Word of God to be at work in your lives? Okay? And I thought that what we'd do is just get you chatting to each other. I know that, you know, it's time of coronavirus, but I'm sure that we can keep talking to each other. And I put down a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5. You'll see it on the outline. You should have an outline of what I'm going to say. Okay? And the verse is this. Two verses. Have you got the outline? May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Okay? Now what I want you to do is, what will it look like for those two verses, God's word, to be at work in you this week? What will that look like? And here's to get you thinking. Imagine these verses are like a sweetie. Robert Murray McShane said, the promises of God are like a sweetie. You're to suck on them and enjoy them. So imagine these verses are like a sweetie that's going to last all week. And you're going to have this word at work in you. All right? So, if you accept and believe it as God's word, which I assume you do, what will this word at work do in you through this week? Okay? So have a chat to each other. All right? What will it look like? What will it do in you? All right? Okay. Now you can shout out anything you like, well, within reason, all right? I want to keep that idea of it, God's word, these verses, like a sweetie that you're enjoying, and you're sucking all the juice from that sweetie all through the week. So let's say you've harbored these verses in your heart and mind, and they're at work in you. I mean, what will it look like, and what will this word at work do in you? So two slightly different things. What will it look like, and what will it do in you? Any ideas? You can answer either of those two questions.
There'll be a reassurance that God is in control, despite anything else that's going on.
Thank you. All right. It is a massive reassurance. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
So we will be peaceful and peaceable.
Okay. Thank you, because he is the God of peace. Thank you.
I think the word sanctify and blameless, it's all about him making us more like him, and us believing that he is really at work in our lives and changing us.
Thank you. All right. So it's interesting, isn't it? The reason I wanted this verse is because it's a verse of tremendous comfort and reassurance, isn't it? It's not verses where we've got to do something. You know, we love to do things, don't we? What have I got to do, Bob? Tell me what you've got to do in the Christian life. But this is a great verse about what God is going to do in you as you trust Jesus. May the God of peace sanctify you through and through, make you more Christ-like. You are a saint. There's a process going on. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. They're great verses of reassurance, aren't they? You know. Now, what about the actual idea of kind of God's word at work? What will it actually look like through the week, practically? All right. So that's the reassurance. But any ideas about what it will look like if it's like a sweetie that we're sucking? Is that a helpful picture? Colossians talks about the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. Interestingly, as you teach and admonish one another. My point is this, we'll carry this with us, won't we? What are the verses that we're carrying with us through the week? Maybe from your personal Bible time. My personal view is we need to take more from our sermons through the week. What's the verse I want to take with me? That's at work in me. I mean, the word of God is always at work in us, isn't it? Lots of it. But there may be something. I really want that to be at work. So I'm going to think about it every day, every half day, every hour, and suck it like a sweetie for all that we can get from it. That is God's word at work in us, isn't it? To strengthen us. And to help us. And we ought to be doing that, let me say, more and more. I think we ought to take verses, through with us during the week. It may be from your personal Bible reading, it may be something that you've learnt in the growth group, it may be something, God willing, from a sermon. But here's my example too, and we'll come back to this at the end. What would it look like for you to have a word ministry that seeks to strengthen and encourage others in the midst of trials and opposition? What will it look like for you to have a word ministry? I mean, I have a word ministry. That's what I'm ordained, set aside to do, to teach God's word. And we're going to look at these verses. But I want you to think, what will it look like for you to have a word ministry? Because you do have a word ministry. As Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you, all you Colossians, teach and admonish one another. But we'll come back to that. Because what I want us to see as we work through this, I love these kind of passages because they give an insight into ministry, pastoral ministry. And by pastoral ministry, I mean word ministry, the pastor's work of teaching God's word. And they are tremendously stimulating. So what will it look like to have a word ministry that seeks the spiritual growth of others in the midst of trials and difficulties and opposition? I just want to keep that clear. And that's the background, that's the backdrop. So I've got three things that I want to pick up from these verses. And they're, again, I think, reassurance in the face of trials and opposition about, firstly, the loving bonds of word ministry. Sorry, it's a little bit unwieldy, that. The loving bonds of word ministry, verses 17 to 18. Let's look again. But brothers and sisters, when you were torn away from you, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Look at that. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. We wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan stopped us. So Paul had preached Christ, been driven out of town. And just look at the language. When we were torn away. Torn away. I visited my mother this week, as I said this morning, and during the war, her family lived right next door to the Kodak factory in Harrow, in London, and that was a target for German bombers. And I learned something new about my mother this week, that Kodak, being an American company, had actually offered the children of the employees of Kodak, of the factory, and the other local children the opportunity to go to America, not to be evacuated to Weston-super-Mare, but to go to America. But they had to pass a medical, presumably because they didn't want any people with TB or anything like that in America or whatever, or they may die on the journey. And my mother failed the medical, her sister passed, but my granny, their mother, couldn't possibly have the idea of being them being torn away, being separated. She just couldn't take. That's the sense here. You remember all those pictures of children leaving their parents in World War II? You see, Paul says, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, not in thought, he's thinking about them, these loving bonds of word ministry. These are the people that he's pastorally responsible for. And he longs to see them, doesn't he? He has an intense longing to see them again. This is the love that Paul felt for these Christians. Yes, they're out of sight, but not out of his mind. He loved them so much, he wanted to see them again. He wanted to hear news about them. So he's sent Timothy, as we've seen. He wanted to come, he tried to come. But he couldn't because of Satan. There is opposition and difficulties. So I just want to remind us of the loving bonds of word ministry, of gospel ministry. What made those bonds so intense? You see, these are not the bonds of teammates. I've been in some great teams, great sports teams. And they're not kind of friendships that are made or university friendships, are they? It's not just good colleagues at work. These bonds are much deeper, aren't they? Because they're about being in Christ and united in Christ and being gospel people together. And caring for one another, being in God's family together. You see, Paul's heartbeat is for these Christians. He loves them so much. He hated being separated from them. He wanted to help them to grow spiritually. He wanted news of them. And let me say that we do have that at Trinity. These kind of loving bonds of word ministry, of gospel ministry, we want to have them more and more. I mean, are you excited to hear news of what our mission partners are doing? It's always good to hear news of our mission partners. But let me say, I actually, and the great thing is, I mean, it'd be lovely if we had some long-term missionaries sent out from this church. But what I particularly love to get is news from the Beatties. News from the Beatties up there in Manchester. And then you get a letter from Ben Holmes. Ben Holmes, he's one of our boys. He's a Holmes boy. You see? You know, what's going on? What gospel bonds there are? You know, what's going on? It's great to hear that, how he's going on and so on. News, the loving bonds of word ministry. And these bonds of word ministry, they look into the future, don't they? Look what Paul says, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. The eternal perspective of word ministry. So Paul looks ahead to the day when Christ returns. And of course, straight away, that changes a whole number of things when we have that perspective. It changes the view of the spiritual battle that we're in. There are enemies of the gospel. There are trials and difficulties. We see that all the way through these verses. He's said it in verse 18, hasn't he? That Satan had stopped them. There are spiritual opponents of the gospel. Last week we saw human opponents of the gospel back in that last section. But here there are spiritual opponents of the gospel. Verse 18, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again, but Satan stopped us. Like, he doesn't tell us how he did it. I don't think we should imagine that Satan was stood there with, you know, pitchfork and, you know, funny ears or whatever. But it just stopped. Gospel work going on. Or he couldn't come. But evil spiritual forces are at work to stop gospel work. But the great thing here is that it's quite clear that God's work is unstoppable, isn't it? And the return of Jesus influences his views. Here is the eternal perspective that the Apostle Paul has. You see, his heartbeat is all about people who've been converted and shaped by the Word of God there on the last day. And for Paul, he can say, and Silas and Timothy, so I should say that because it's a joint letter, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we'll glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you, you Thessalonians? You're our glory and our joy. So all this gospel work that he's been doing, all this teaching of God's word, all this encouraging that's been going on, and he sees these Thessalonian Christians there on the last day before the Lord Jesus, and he can say, you're our glory and our joy. The crown in which we'll glory. It's extraordinary language, isn't it? It's fascinating, isn't it, that in this life we're tempted to glory in all the wrong things, aren't we? The things and achievements of this life. Look at my university. Look at my degree. Look at my job. Look at my achievements. Look at my house. Look at my new kitchen. But what really matters? See, look at the Apostle Paul's heartbeat. It's people on the last day, standing before the Lord Jesus, rescued by Jesus from the coming wrath. They are his hope, joy, crown, our glory and joy. It's extraordinary, isn't it? I always actually think of a father presenting a bride at a wedding. Here we are. Here she is, looking glorious. Proud father escorts his daughter into the church and up the aisle, gives her to her betrothed. Is not the bride his glory and joy? Here you are. And so Paul's has the sense of presenting these Thessalonian Christians his glory and joy. Those in whom the word has worked. Friends, what a privilege it is to be at work, spiritually to be at work, doing word ministry, isn't it? To be part of somebody's conversion and somebody's growth in Christ. Do we see it this way? I know it's only the evening service, but look around us this evening. Here are the people that we're responsible for spiritually for this hour or 65 minutes. You know, we want to present each other perfect in Christ on the last day. Now, let me say, there are lots of formal areas. I want us to remember there are lots of formal areas of ministry. I do this kind of formally. This is my vocation to teach God's word. But there's many informal word ministries, are there, that go on. I mean, there's formal. There's all the ministries of our young people's work, Trinity Kids or Heroes or Impact or Ignite. Think about your growth group. And then there's loads of ministry that goes on informally. In fact, we need that more and more. Wouldn't it be great to be able to open the Bible with somebody this week, informally, either non-Christian or Christian? And you see, Paul's life is all about the word and people and helping them to grow in Christ. Eternal perspective. And then lastly, the edifying priority of word ministry in the face of trials and opposition. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen you and encourage you in the faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that you would be, that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. So, lots of challenges for being a Christian, aren't there? There are trials in verse 3. There's persecution in verse 4. There's the work of Satan, again, the tempter in verse 5, that he's worried about. He just assumes Satan is at work. It's not extraordinary, interestingly. He just assumes he is at work, obstructing gospel work. Paul reassures them that persecution and opposition and difficulties are normal. He told them. But look at what his focus is here. It is to build them up, to edify. He sends Timothy, verse 2, when I could not stand it any longer. You see? So concerned. He sent Timothy, verse 2, our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ. Why did he do that? To strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. So here's the work that Timothy has to do. He has to turn up and strengthen and encourage. So they wouldn't be unsettled by everything that's going on, all the opposition, all the difficulties that there are, all the trials. And to keep them growing as Christians, to say, here is the apostolic word that you heard. Keep believing. Keep letting that word be at work in you. So he didn't just bring greetings. He didn't just sit down and have a cup of tea with them. He didn't just hold hands. He didn't just find out about the scores of Thessalonica United. He went to strengthen and encourage, edifying, building up in your faith. What a great thing it is to be able to think through this week. Every Christian we meet, every non-Christian we want to think about, well, what can I say in the light of coronavirus about the gospel? But every Christian we meet, what can I say or do to build up, if you don't like the word build up, to strengthen or encourage this person, this Christian, to keep going, to grow? Every single Christian that you meet. Isn't that a great thing to be able to do? That is every member word ministry. Using God's word, it may be not, but hopefully, because we want the word to be at work, it may be that you can share a verse. Do you know, this verse made a big difference to me this week, last week. Let me share it with you. Some here will know the story of our son Ben and Kathy Davis, one of our former trainees. She was a bit discouraged. So Julia and I told Ben to go and encourage her. So Ben went up to her and said, "Keep going," and then walked away. What a great thing to say. He didn't say, "Keep going in the faith." That would have been possibly a little bit better, but it was a start of an encouraging and strengthening ministry, wasn't it? Over the years, he has developed that. What can I say or do this week, every Christian I meet, to strengthen and encourage them in the faith, to keep them growing in the face of trials and difficulties and opposition? See, do we want to give this kind of ministry? Everybody has a word ministry. Do we want to receive this kind of ministry? Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you so much for the insight that these passages bring to pastoral ministry. Please help us through this coming week to be those who have your word at work in us, maybe even thinking about Timothy here being sent to strengthen and encourage Christians in the faith. So please help us this week to have that word at work in us, to think about every Christian that we meet, to think about how we can strengthen and encourage them in the faith with your word, so that they may grow in Christ and keep going, just as these Thessalonians were. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.